Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Voice of Yahweh.
Basic call to persevere in preaching the word of the Lord no matter what, because through him God would make them know that a prophet has been among them. And Ezekiel 2:5 says, as for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, I know I said this, but I'm saying it again, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. This seems tough, but encouraging. It's tough to have to go, knowing they're not going to listen to you, but it's still encouraging to know that at least God gave them a chance. After all, he is told that it will be evident that Ezekiel is God's anointed prophet. God will be with him powerfully. Now that has to be good, right? Don't you say that's good? There's still more. While promising to be with Ezekiel, God also makes it clear he is not going to be greeted with a lot of success. He will be rejected. His message will fall on rebellious ears and stubborn hearts. So, there you go. You already know they're not going to pick up a thing I say, but I've got to do all this studying and, you know, stay awake at night to get it all together and get up there for 15, 20 minutes, whatever it is, and give it. No, and they're not going to receive the thing I say. But God said you have to persevere, right? God says he is sending him to a people who are so stubborn. No, where I'm at. Yeah, that's where I'm at, right? God says he is sending him to a people who are so stubborn that even though the message is not hard to understand and the language is not a barrier, even so they will reject it because they continually reject God. And that's Ezekiel 3:6. See, that's where you get all messed up. You think they're rejecting you. They're not. They're rejecting the God in you. I've said it over and over again, and I hope you've gotten onto that. I hope it's latched onto your spirit. Yet still, God calls him to be a watchman over the house of Israel in Ezekiel 3:17, preaching a warning to God's people so that they might turn, repent, and not come under judgment. Knowing that the people will rebel, knowing that they will reject him, knowing the difficulty, he is still to preach the word of the Lord. So if you say, here I am, Lord, use me. This is what you have to do. Even though you know people aren't going to receive anything you say, you still have to preach your word because he commissioned you. You asked for it. Big mouth. Like me, here I am, Lord, use me. And when all hell broke, I said, God, what's going on here? I heard you when you said, here I am, use me, and this goes along with it. So, guys, when you said it, it goes along with it. Me, 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 me. Well, God saw me, because he's looking for those who work for him. And he's using you, but you don't like what happens. How do we preach under conditions like this? What drives faithfulness in situations like this, you know, in you? How do we bear up under the pressure? Most of us don't think about this going into the project. We think it's going to be a rose garden because God said to me, daughter, I never promised you a rose garden. Whenever you say, here I am, use me, you went into the lion's den. But nobody ever told me I was going into the lion's den. I thought I was going into the house of God, and everybody's going to love me. This is before I was preaching, just being in a seat. But everybody came against me from day one when I became born again. Until I became born again, the devil left me totally alone. I was no heathen, but I did go to church, but I never was born again because I didn't know I was supposed to be. But once I became born again, my whole life changed for the worse because the devil just targeted me, and he was after me with everything he had because he knew what God had commissioned me to do, and he did not want his kingdom torn down. Are you understanding this? See, the devil knows you, and he knows what God has commissioned you to do, and he knows if he can't get you off course, you are going to tear his kingdom right apart. So he's going to throw everything at you that he has. So I said, most of us don't. I said, how can we go do all this? Well, most of us don't think about this going in. We might know it is going to be hard. We might know that if we faithfully preach the word, not all that we say is going to be received well. Nevertheless, coming face to face with stubborn, reluctant members of the body, people who won't repent, members you are intimidated to speak honestly to for fear of causing them to leave, catch some of us off guard and make us lose our nerve. Now, see, I've never been to that place. I don't care what you say about me. I know what God has called me to do, and I know when God's using me, you know, and I'm saying to myself, God, please don't go there. I didn't want this tonight. I would like to be just nice and peaceful and loving and kind, and he's just doing just the opposite. Amen? So I'm never worried about if I hurt your feelings. I'm not, because you know what? If you're a true child of God, your feelings won't get hurt. We used to have little shoes, you know, said if the word fits, put it on. If it doesn't, don't worry about it. You know, I'm just not worried about that. Because if you're really a true child of God, walking in the Spirit of God, you won't ever get offended. You won't. And believe me, the devil has offended me many, tried to offend me many, many times by pastors in the house of God. Didn't bother me because I wasn't doing it. You know, if you're not doing it, you're not guilty, right? But if there's something in you that's not right, it's going to make you feel guilty and you're going to get all upset. That's why my closet is clean. I don't want no surprises by the devil. Right? Come on. Where am I at now? I lost my place again. Even with the Spirit of God indwelling the hearts of believers, nobody likes being told to repent. That's why people leave this church. We just can't deal with your message. It's too hard. You can't live that message. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You don't want to. They leave and they get all bent out of shape, you know, and they get all messed up and come back and say, help. And that's fine. We help them again, and then they get all feeling better. Then they leave again because of the message. I'm not going to change my message just because you came back. You know, God isn't going to, I'm not called to do that. I'm called to minister to ministers. That's what God told me. You're going to minister to ministers, and I'm going to send them forth and use them out on the streets or, you know, another building. So if you're in here, God wants you in here so that he can show you areas in your life he has to change, so that whenever he sends you, he's not going to send you out to change anyhow. But anyhow, so when you go out, the devil can't take you out. All right? I wish somebody had told me this before I went on the street, you know, went out in an evangelistic field. And I went out there and didn't know what was going on. But the Holy Spirit taught me, because God said that's what I should do, be taught by the Holy Spirit. So some of you need to quit allowing other people to teach you all the time. You need to get on your face before the Father and just let the Holy Spirit teach you things. I didn't say don't go to church. I didn't say quit reading your Bible, your books. I didn't say that. But you're always wanting somebody else to take you by the nose and lead you around. And you shouldn't do that. How are you going to lead others if you want somebody to lead you all the time? All right, a hard forehead. So what do you need to preach faithfully to people with stubborn hearts? First of all, you apparently need some good facial bone density. Early in the chapter, the Lord says to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 3:7-9, but the house of Israel will not listen to you because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impotent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces. Look at this, and this is what God has done to you if he's truly called you. I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Don't get all upset at how they look at you and how they act. After all, dear Lord, you're God's. And if they get upset with you, then they're not. There's something in them that still needs to be changed and transformed. All right? I know I have a forehead of flint because God said to me one day, daughter, I'm giving you a forehead of flint today and a backbone of steel, and you'll never back down from the devil in any situation you come into. I know I have that. And you think, well, you think you're all that handsome. No, I don't. I just know who I am in Christ. And I know that I'm preaching the Word of God the way he wants it preached. I know I'm doing the will of the Father. And so if I know that, well, then I don't care what you say about me. It's not going to faze me. All right, get that in your spirit tonight. The Lord uses a picture of Israel having a hard forehead after years of rebellion. They were people with a stubborn will that won't be turned aside, having set their face against the Lord. God tells Ezekiel that as hard as their forehead was, he would make Ezekiel's that much firmer. God, you know, that, how many of you know that God does do that? You're working with people and, you know, they're really have a hard forehead, but God will put something tenacity in you, and your forehead becomes harder than hers, and you can stand up, not ignorant, but you can stand up to them and not back down, because God has made you that way. He's placed you in front of that person so you can change them, not them change you. And what I'm hearing God say, too many of my people let other people change and rearrange them to their standard instead of my people changing them and rearranging them. So don't let other people change you if you're walking with God. God tells Ezekiel that as hard as our forehead was, he would make Ezekiel's that much firmer. God would give Ezekiel a strength of will, a forehead harder than flint that was used to strike a fire, and you know that's pretty hard flint. We need a supernaturally emboldened will to preach. You need supernatural boldness to preach the word of God. Ezekiel did not derive his boldness from his own strength. His strength was the Lord's. It was the Spirit of God. See, this is another thing. People think they're doing it themselves, and they really are not. It is God working through you. It was the Spirit of God who proved to be the firm ground on which he could make his stand. You can't preach to a stubborn people if your will is weaker than theirs. Are you listening here? If all you want is their money, you're never going to get them to where God wants them to be. If you want them to like you, you're never going to get them to where they want, where they're supposed to go. If God placed them over, if God placed them under you, then they're supposed to listen to what you have to say. And if they can't, if they become unteachable and think that you don't know what you're doing, then they need to leave. That, you know, it's just that simple. There's nothing complicated about God's word. Inevitably, heads will butt. You know, somebody's got to be strong. And someone's will have to break. Somebody's will is going to have to break whenever you butt heads. Pray for the sake of your people that it is not yours. So, you know how I am. I say, if you don't want to be here, go. I'm holding you here. So, but it's, you know, you're supposed to pray for the sake of your people that's not yours. It was on a footnote in the Bible. You're going to do what God says because I'm not backing down. Right? How many have stubborn kids in your home? You can't smoke in my house. They sneak around and smoke when you're not there. You come home and smell. Okay, if you smoke in here, then you pack your bags and get out. This is a no-smoking house. I never smoked in my life. My house never had smoke in it. And you're not going to bring it in with your other wicked ways. Don't back down. Right? Come on. All right, a heavy heart. Your people need you to have a hard forehead. Because this passage also teaches us that our message is a weighty one. It can only be preached with heavy heart, burdened with the gravity of God's word. That is the only way I know how to describe the Lord's charge in the middle of the chapter. God tells Ezekiel that he must preach to the people because unless he does, he is accountable for their blood. I tell you, none of you are worth me going to hell for. You know, and that's the way you need to feel. You need to, you know, why do you want to stoop to their level and let them change you to be what they are? We're not supposed to do that. Because if you let them do that, if you read Ezekiel, you find out that their blood is going to be in your hands, and you're going to be judged for that. All right? Compromise is what I was trying to think of. I'm not going to compromise the word just to make you feel good. All right, Ezekiel 3:16 says, now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel again, saying, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. See, if you're really a teacher, a preacher, or whatever, you have to be able to hear God's voice because he's going to tell you what to tell the people. All right? So he said, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. You have to tell the people the truth. Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. He's talking about a righteous man here. So, you know, if you see somebody in the house of God sinning, you have to tell them, you're in sin. You can't be doing that. All right? And verse 21 says, nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. Don't be afraid to tell your kids are going to die and go to hell to continue the sin they're doing. Why are you afraid to do that? Why? God's going to ask you, why didn't you train them up in the ways they should go? Well, I did when they was younger, but after all, when they reached 18, they have their own will. Well, my kids are still in my home, and they're 39 and 40, and they're doing things they shouldn't do. And I tell them, if you don't quit, you're going to go to hell. God told me you're going to die, and you're going to go to hell if you don't change, because that's what he said. I'm not going to have their blood on my hands. Are you listening here? All right, God says that he will punish the wicked and forgive the repentant according to their own actions. But Ezekiel is still held liable for whether he preached the word of repentance to them or simply left them to their wickedness. All through the scripture, there is a weight to bring a preacher and teacher of God's word. James 3:1 says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. I want to preach. Well, you're going to be judged stricter than the other ones. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. I'm supposed to be so joyous that you all won't listen to the word of God. That's what it said, didn't it? I'm happy, happy, happy. I'm going to do a happy dance. Nancy has to teach me her happy dance, and I'm going to be so happy that you won't change. Amen. No, I'm just going to keep on telling you, better get it together. All right, they are to be faithful shepherds to the flock, knowing they must give an account to the true shepherd. And you know, sometimes God's going to tell you right now, you have to give account to God right now before you die. Because God will say, what are you doing there? Why aren't you doing this and why aren't you doing that? Well, God, I did. Well, do it again, because they aren't paying attention. So I have to do it again, you know. 1 Peter 5:1, the elders who are among you, I exhort. Who's he talking to? The elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly. He says, shepherd the flock that is among you. Don't go out and you're not supposed to preach to the church, try to make the people down the street straighten up. God will send the ones he wants you to minister to into your house, all right, or into your presence or wherever you're at. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. You're supposed to be an example to all those that you minister to. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. If you do everything God tells you to do, then you're going to receive your crown of glory. Remember, God told me, daughter, don't let any man steal your crown. Do you understand how many, and that's devils. Do you understand how many devils are trying to steal your crown before you even get started in your ministry? Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Preachers have to know that there is a weight to the words we speak. We are not just tossing about interesting ideas that are fun to debate sometimes. We are preaching the difference between life and death, both in this life and what follows. This knowledge should drive us to set our foreheads like flint and to preach no matter the result. All too often we pull back for fear of the results, when the results of pulling back are far more terrifying. See that? I know this is a little bit lengthy, but you really need to hear this. I'm about done. Instead, our charge should propel us forward to humbly but confidently speak, thus says the Lord, for the sake of our hearers. In other words, you know, if you're in here tonight, God wants to use you as a leader. And he sends in here who he wants. We don't go out there and pull you in. God sends who he wants into the house of God. He knows what house to send you in. Some things you're not going to be able to. Some people couldn't come in here and listen to this. It would kill them. They just would not even want to walk with God. But he sends those that he's trying to clean up to use for his glory. All right? are getting weightier hearts and tougher craniums. A lot of ministers reading Ezekiel chapter 3 know that they don't have that hard forehead or that heavy heart. But how do those ministers gain some weightier hearts and tougher craniums? First thing they need to do is pray and repent. It is that simple. God promises that He will make Ezekiel's forehead hard. We need to be on our knees, pleading with God for the strength to bear up under the pressure. The Spirit is the only one who can impress upon our hearts the burden of the world as well as give us the courage we need. You know, somebody split the church one time, and then on a Saturday, then that Sunday when I met, there just one person showed up. And I bent over the pulpit, and I pointed my finger at him, and I started crying. I mean, that's just all gone. And God said to him, "Are you going to leave me too?" You know, that's scripture. "Are you going to leave me too?" And the boy sat there and said, "I don't know." But he left, because the people who left us but the church, they kept at him till he left. But God wept. He cried because, you know, he came, but he said, "Are you going to leave me too?" He's let this man know, you know, somebody's going to try to pull you out too. All right? Second thing is, preach the word alone. We gain strength and passion for preaching when we commit ourselves to studying and wrestling with God's word in order to present it to God's people. It is then that we are convinced and convicted of what God has said. You know, study your word and preach the word. It is then that we are unhindered by the ambition to forward our own clever ideas. You know, in other words, using your charisma. It is then that our fears are quenched that would cause us to shrink from our task. Ezekiel 3:27 says, "But when I speak with you," the God speaking, "I will open your mouth and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, he who hears, let him hear, and he who refuses, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house." God is saying the same thing to the church today. Jeremiah 7:1-11, we want to read that in closing. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, I want you to listen to this. Because if God is truly calling you to be a leader, then you're going to run into these situations. And God wants you forewarned so that you don't lose faith and lose heart and just drop off the face of the earth. Jeremiah 7:1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judea who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house? That's what's going on today. Which is called by my name and say, we are delivered, only to go on doing all these abominations. People go after all the time and sin their heads off and come right into the house of God acting like there's nothing going on. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. You know, there's many times when you guys have been really messed up that God's let me see this house is a disaster. And I've even brought it over the pulpit and said there's some sin in this house and God wants it stopped. And God is burning with anger, and Jeremiah is calling the people to repentance, but the people refuse to repent. That's why God says he's left the church. He's left the church. He's now ministering to the lost. And God is threatening them with coming judgment. He is threatening them with judgment and destruction and exile if they don't repent. And to give you a picture of how unrepentant they were, let's continue reading Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 30. For the sons of Judea have done evil in my sight, declares the Lord. They have set their detestable things in the house that is called by my name to defile it. And they have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my mind. Now, the people of Judah are literally burning their sons and daughters, offering up as sacrifices. And God is screaming at them through Jeremiah, what are you doing? You know, perversion is running rapid in the body of Christ, the house of God. And God is saying, what are you doing? Why have you not changed? Why are you allowing this stuff to go on in the house of God? Because all the way back in Leviticus, human sacrifice is already banned. God hates it. However, the people of Judah learned human sacrifices from the Canaanite and the Phoenician people. They worshipped Molech and offered child sacrifices as a way of getting the gods to listen to them and grant their request or blessings. Archaeology has found in a Phoenician colony from the 8th century B.C. the burned remains of thousands of child sacrifices. And Israel, the kingdom of Judah, is imitating them. And Jeremiah is screaming the word of God at them. But do the people repent? No. False prophets were around at that time. And the false prophets were going around telling everyone, hey, it's okay. God is on our side. You hear that all the time. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to worry. God is on our side. Peace to you. Peace to us. Doesn't that sound like just like today? Are you willing to die to the flesh and do the same works that Jeremiah did? I said, your back's bothering you. Why don't you get up and walk around a little bit? Yeah, I see your back's bothering you. You sat too long in that chair. But you sat and you listened, even though you was in pain. Did you understand what you heard tonight? God is warning the church. You need to start preaching the truth. You cannot water it down. Sin is sin is sin is sin. The reason why there's so much junk in the body of Christ is because a lot of the pastors are in sin themselves. I mean, it's coming out into the open. And that's why they don't preach. You know, what you're guilty of, you won't ever preach. Because if you preach it, then you have to change. And a lot of people don't want to change. They like that sin that they're in. And so they let the people go to hell with them. And that's the bottom line. So if you're sitting here tonight and you minister in any way, shape, or form, and you're not telling the truth and you're still staying in your sin, I would quit ministering until I got myself right. Everybody knows that it comes here on a permanent basis. And if I messed up, if I'm upset about something, I won't preach. I won't prophesy or nothing because you don't need my junk on you. And see, too many people, they don't do that. They won't step aside because, after all, this is me. Everybody wants to hear from me. Well, you know what? Are they really hearing from you? Yes, they are. They're hearing from you and not God is what that's all about. It's all about you and not about God. It's not about allowing God to minister to the people the truth. It's you getting recognition. Are you ready to change, church? Are you really ready to go out there and preach the gospel the way it needs to be preached? You know, if you're doing something wrong at home, stop it. You know, if your spouse is you know, into perversion and they're trying to make you or are making you be perverted with them because, after all, you're my wife, you're my husband. No, you don't do that. God hasn't called you to do that. If they're perverted, they need to get their act together or slap up alongside their head. I don't care what you do with the word. But please don't yield to what their perversion. That's not God. It is not God. A pastor I knew one time, they told me, well, God doesn't come into our bedroom and worry about what we're doing. And I said, oh, God said, well, yeah, I do. I see everything that's going on in there. And then I told him, God said, well, our bedroom's sacred. We can do whatever we want to in there. And God said, no, they can't. No, they can't. And I knew they were doing some things just by what I saw in there. But they wouldn't listen. And God stopped their ministry. You can't continue to do these kind of things. God wants you holy. He wants you pure. He wants you righteous, just like Jesus was. Tonight, God wants to give you ears that hear, truly hear. Not just think you hear, but ears that truly hear. So that when he sends you forth into your ministry, the only voice you're going to hear is his. And the only message you give will be his.
This has been another exciting message from the Voice of Yahweh Radio Ministry.